This is Packers Now.
Tom Rodgers looking, throws left side of the end zone.
Yes!
Touchdown!
Yes!
Devontae Adams!
Place for all your Packers news.
Lofts it over the left side into the end zone. Intercepted! Adrian Amos!
Get the latest updates on the green and gold.
Snap to Aaron Rodgers. Sets, fires, right side, got Jordan Cutty left at the 30. Touchdown!
It's always Packers season at Packers Now. Right here, right now.
He's good, and the Packers are going to the NFC Championship game.
I'm your host, Ben Krakowski, and currently the NFL Combine is happening. We are set to have one of the most important days in the NFL, and that is the NFL Draft. We are about a month, 2 months away from that at this point. But before the NFL Draft is free agency, which is set to open in just a few short weeks. And realistically, the truth about free agency is that good teams really don't play a big role in free agency. Of the top 30 contracts handed out last offseason, almost every single one of those moves, teams were forced to overpay for the production of those players last season. Javon Hargrave of the 49ers got paid $20 million a year for 1 year of good play as a pass rusher, but he's not even an all-around interior defensive lineman. Alan Lazard got paid $11 million a year and wasn't even on the game day roster at the end of last season. The Chiefs paid $20 million a year for Jawan Taylor, a guy who's never graded as an above-average player, according to PFF. If you are spending money early on in free agency, especially big money, you are lucky to be happy with that decision by the end of that season. And these are just a few examples of that. So the key to free agency is never spend big early on. The key is finding the gems later on in the process, and that's what I want to try and do today. I'm not going to highlight the best, biggest free agents. If the Packers had these guys, it would change their franchise, okay? First of all, I don't think it would, because the only position that really changes a franchise is the quarterback position. And secondly, we don't have a ton of money to be spending, okay? But going back to the gems, the people, the hidden gems, the low-cost moves that have high potential rewards later on, the surplus value, which is that's pretty much all I care about, a surplus value. One of those gems was already signed, okay? Which is, how was someone already signed? Well, because they weren't on an NFL team to end the season, and that player was punter Matt Araiza. He was fully acquitted from his association with the crime that he was wrongfully accused of. Araiza was the best college punter we probably have ever seen and was cut because of the lawsuit he was in. He has been acquitted, though, for months, and yet no team had signed him because it was the middle of the year. It was like November, I believe, it happened. The Packers currently do not even have a punter on their roster. Okay, Daniel Whelan is a restricted free agent. He has not signed a tender yet. And so, technically, the Packers had no punters on the roster. This guy is sitting out there, the best punter ever in college football, totally clean, no lawsuit, no nothing, and you could just go out and sign this guy and just see what he has, okay? And to me, I don't understand how you can't make a move on a guy like that. It's ridiculous, and now the best team in the NFL just got better. This is the type of move every general manager in the NFL should be scrutinized for, because this is an easy win in a time when finding specialists is harder than ever, and the Packers should know better than to just let an opportunity like this just roll right past them. Sadly, the Packers don't have a ton of cap space. Currently, we are sitting around $7 million after a couple of moves. So we don't have a ton of money to just be like playing around free agency with, but there is reason to believe that the Packers are trying to make some moves. Rashawn Gary has restructured his contract. I think opening up around $4.5 million. Preston Smith just took a $2.5 million pay cut. So that is also a big deal, because that opens up a lot more money as well. And so you have to wonder if the Packers are going to go out and be ready to make moves. Luckily, the Packers don't need a ton of money because if push came to shove, they could roll out a team right now and have a team that's pretty darn good without very many holes whatsoever. If you look at this team, the major contributors that the Packers are losing this offseason are A.J. Dillon, a backup running back, J.R.J., an average starting right guard, Keyshawn Nixon, a below-average slot cornerback, and three average to below-average safeties who combined to be our starting safeties last year. That's really not a lot, and none of those are some major irreplaceable players or positions, mind that. Sean Ryan could start at right guard. Emmanuel Wilson could be our new number two running back. And we just would need to find someone who can start at slot cornerback. Maybe between Jair, Carrington, Eric Stokes, Ballantyne, one of those guys can. And then Anthony Johnson, rookie safety from last year, could start at one safety spot, and the other one we would just need to find. The Packers, if they put a couple of simple tenders on a few players, we will have 63 players under contract as well. That's more players under contract than almost any other team in the NFL. So the Packers don't need to add players because they already have a ton of players on the roster, especially considering the Packers have 11 draft picks. That'll put the Packers at 73 guys on the roster. Then the Packers usually sign around 13 players on average each year as undrafted rookie free agents. That puts the roster at 86 right there, and you can only have 90 guys on your roster. Really, there's not much work to be done that leaves just four spots technically for the Packers to even fill to get their roster to the max 90 players. So truly, the Packers can be pretty wise about what types of players they want to bring in with so little additions they truly can make. But also, they could open up more cap space and open up more roster spots if they did some cutting of some players who maybe just aren't long-term solutions currently on the roster. We can save $3.1 million by cutting Royce Newman, save $3.1 million again by cutting T.J. Slayton, save $1 million by cutting Zane Anderson, save another mil by cutting Samori Toure. Then there's a ton of other lesser important players we could let go of who I just don't have any hope in. Alex Mgu, Benny Sapp, Aaron Mosby, Zion Gilbert, Tyler Coyle. You probably haven't even heard those names before. All of those moves together would save the Packers another $12 million or so. So there's even more ways to open up cap right now if we need to, if we want to sign some players. But truly, there's only two major ways to open up cap space for this team right now. And that is by cutting David Bakhtiari or cutting Devondre Campbell. David Bakhtiari is set to have a $40 million cap hit, which is crazy high. That will not work. Now, though, Bakhtiari is dealing with recovering from another surgery. This makes things quite difficult. Cutting a player while they still can't pass a physical is not usually an easy process necessarily. And trading someone while they still can't pass a physical is pretty much impossible. If the Packers were able to cut Bakhtiari, they would save $19 million, which, yeah, if he's not going to play, totally do that. But I believe Bakhtiari is going to be back in the NFL, and I think he's going to be able to be just as good as he was. I think he's still going to be a top five left tackle in pass protection. And I know that type of confidence is crazy, but I think it's true. He wants to keep playing. He's making progress to do so. Get with him, okay, and remake this deal. Okay, there is a way to make this work, and it sounds like the Packers have already offered him something, and it's kind of in Bakhtiari's court right now about how he wants to move forward. But right now, no matter what, David Bakhtiari is going to get paid $21 million if the Packers cut him. Or I shouldn't say that, actually. That is a mistake. He has already been paid a certain amount of money. The Packers will take a $21 million cap hit, okay? So this is money that's probably already been paid out to him. And so the Packers are going to offer him some sort of contract where it's like, hey, you already have gotten paid this much money. Can we find a way to remake this deal and the money that you would be set to make this season playing for us, we turn that into about half the value. So let's say it's $19 million-ish. And we make it a one-year, $10 million incentive type of deal, okay? That's the contract he's going to get on the open market anyways, okay? He doesn't have to go anywhere. He doesn't have to move his life. He doesn't have to move to a new offense. He doesn't have to understand a new offensive line. Let him recover. Let him understand the system. Let him have his veteran rest. Feel good about pushing himself when he's ready. And he can still make an extra $10 million if he gets healthy. If he doesn't, then the Packers save the amount of money they would if they had just cut him, okay? So if on this new restructured type of deal, Bakhtiari could still get paid a good amount of money, probably a similar amount of money that he'd earn on the open market. But also, the Packers, if he doesn't play on this incentive-based contract, we're not getting screwed once again. This just makes too much sense for us. And you might say, why wouldn't we just cut him at this point? Rashid Walker is a starting left tackle. Yes, Rashid Walker is totally capable of being starting left tackle. I 100% agree. Rashid Walker was, let's say he's above average next year. He's a 70 overall PFF grade type of performance. Or you could have a 90 PFF grade type of performance from David Bakhtiari. That's the difference between one or two, probably three big pressures a game, okay? And that's where the biggest plays happen. Okay, when you end up going to the playoffs, you get there and you start facing the Micah Parsons, the Nick Bosas, those types of edge rushers. Rashid Walker is probably going to mess up one of those reps. David Bakhtiari, he might not. Okay, and if David Bakhtiari plays on this type of contract, he could earn his way, and the money we'd be paying him would be totally worth it because that means he's on the field. The only other way to save money would be by cutting Devondre Campbell. Campbell has struggled with injuries the last few seasons, but if healthy, the Packers found a way to maximize his talents. That's the question. If he's healthy, I think they can maximize his talents, and I think he can play at a high level again. Okay, but if they do decide to cut Devondre Campbell, it would be a post-June 1st cut. It means he'd be available to sign anywhere right now, and then the Packers can save more money, but they can't access that money until after June 1st. So really the only money you could have available to the signed free agents right now would be by either cutting David Bakhtiari, trading him, or remaking his contract, which to me would be the best of both worlds and one that is totally possible considering his unique situation. But let's jump into free agency. And if the Packers want to creep cap space, they can, but and they've already started to do so, like we talked about. But when it comes to free agents that will be available starting on March 13th, let's talk about those guys. Remember, we do not want to overspend. The people that sign free agents early on in the process usually overspend. Waiting is key. So some of these players might get signed early on, but if they don't and the Packers wait, that's where you're going to get the best bang for your buck. Just think about the last few seasons when the Packers were able to sign guys like Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas. Those were post-draft signings. That's one of the best times because it doesn't affect your compensatory pick evaluation either. The Packers have three extra draft picks this year from losing major free agents last offseason because we stayed out of participating in free agency before the NFL draft. We were getting a fifth rounder for losing Alan Lazard, a sixth for Jerron Reed, and a seventh for Dean Lowry. Similar compensatory picks could be at stake this year as well. Darnell Savage, John Runyon, Keyshawn Nixon, A.J. Dillon, all could net the Packers compensatory picks next offseason if we don't sign players before the NFL draft. So patience will be key to making sure we are not overspending, but also helping ourselves for the future with having extra draft picks as well. You can wait and find great players. Just last offseason, Za'Darius Smith, Jadeveon Clowney, two starting edge rushers were signed after the NFL draft, and they were two of the most efficient pass rushers in the NFL when it comes to production over money being paid. And so let's start at the running back position because there are no quarterbacks worth paying, in my opinion. You should never spend a ton of money on a big money free agent running back, and teams are realizing that, but it's to a point where the amount of talent available in free agency is so, the supply is so high. The Packers are set to lose AJ Dillon in free agency, and the Packers could possibly bring him back, but there are other big options out there too. Would Derrick Henry take a one-year, $5 million deal? Henry is still one of the most punishing runners in the NFL, and that is a player, though, if you do not want him to affect your compensatory picks, would have to be signed after the NFL draft. The Browns might be cutting Nick Chubb, one of the best running backs in the NFL, though. And remember, players who are cut do not affect compensatory pick evaluation, so even if the Packers sign that player on day one of free agency, that will not affect getting draft compensation for the players we lose in free agency. Chubb, a street free agent, is coming off a major injury, but it's the first of his career. He's been elite for the last 6 years, this sixth year being his injured one, but he was injured early on in the season, so I think he has time to recover. I think landing one of those two guys could create a special duo in Green Bay for the right price. If it's 1 year, $7 million, $10 million, something crazy. No, of course, don't do that. But if someone hands him Nick Chubb or Derrick Henry, a one-year, $5 million deal, it's going to be very difficult to watch that player go out and have success next season. Receiver. Now, receiver is probably the position that is most set in Green Bay. Christian Watson, if he can be healthy, is our number one guy. Then there's a lot to be excited about behind him. Dontavian Wicks, the best receiver in the NFL against man coverage last season. Jaden Reed was highly successful consistently throughout the year out of the slot. Romeo Dobbs was a go-to target for Jordan Love. Bo Melton used his speed to get open consistently. Malik Heath is even exciting. But when Christian Watson is hurt, the Packers lose a big part of their offense, and that is the ability to stretch a defense vertically. And there is one player in the NFL who is known for doing that and doing it well, and that's former Packers receiver Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Scantling has struggled with drops throughout his career, and the Chiefs have officially cut Scantling in order to save $12 million this season. The Packers could snag MVS up. What he adds to an offense is very hard to find, and the Packers know how to use him well. When he was healthy, he added a ton to our offense in the past, and I think he can still win deep at a high level for $7 million a year. That would be one of the steals of the offseason. When you have guys like Christian Kirk getting paid $20 million a year, you can get MVS for seven. That's the type of player you want to add in free agency, a veteran guy who can do one thing that your team currently doesn't have except one player, and that's Christian Watson, and he's always hurt. To find that type of player in the draft, you will have to use your first-round pick on Brian Times Jr. or your second-round pick on Roman Wilson or a third-round pick on Devontae Walker. We could do one of those moves totally, but to me, the Packers have invested a lot of draft capital in receiver position the last few seasons. I doubt Brian Gutekunst is going to want to draft another guy with one of his top 100 picks with so many other major potential gaps on this roster. On the offensive line, there are two players who stick out to me, but before you can sign anybody, you got to figure out what we have on our offensive line. Are we keeping David Bakhtiari or not? I think we can, but most people don't think the Packers will. And if they don't, and Bakhtiari goes and gets a one-year, $10 million contract, I'm going to be upset because that's something the Packers could have done to rewrite his contract. But if the Packers do move on, Rashid Walker, the starting left tackle, has 2 years left on his contract. But if he gets hurt, we have to have some type of backup plan. That backup plan is left tackle Josh Jones. Josh Jones, throughout his career, has been asked to play many different positions, but when he's asked to play left tackle, the position he is best at, he has played an above-average level, doing so arguably better than Rashid Walker even has. I think you could sign him for a one-year, $3.5 million deal. If so, that would be a total steal and give your team really good depth in case of injury. Then the Packers are going to have a gap on the interior offensive line as well. If we lose JRJ in free agency, JRJ was a slightly below average player at right guard. But as a sixth round pick, it was really good value. I think the Packers might be able to find a very similar replacement for him with a guy like Ezra Cleveland, formerly the Minnesota Vikings. He's an insane athlete, can be very effective as a run blocker in the outside zone scheme. But to me, even that's probably a little overpriced. The Packers for years have never been one to sign starting guards. They always draft guys and plug them into starters. The Packers are good at finding starting guards in the middle of rounds of the draft. I think we can be confident in their ability to do so. But if we did have to sign someone, Ezra Cleveland is the guy that makes sense to me. But the center position is a different story to me. A final name to watch in free agency will be center Connor Williams. He has turned into one of the better centers in the NFL in Miami in Mike McDaniel's outside zone blocking scheme, but he tore his ACL in week 14. He might not be able to pass a physical exam and sign a contract until late in the offseason. If that's so, Connor Williams may be forced to sign a one-year prove-it type of deal. And if the Packers could sign him and he was healthy, he would be a huge upgrade at center, as Josh Myers has continued to be one of the worst centers in the NFL, and Connor Williams was the second and fourth best center in the NFL the last two seasons. This, to me, is a huge player circled on my free agent watch list for after the NFL draft. This will allow the Packers to have a few centers circled on their draft board that they really like, but not be forced to reach on them, because at the worst, they could slightly overpay to get Connor Williams in the fold on this team in July. He comes from Mike McDaniel's scheme, a very similar scheme to the one the Packers will be running. He can start the year on the pup list, but then come week seven, he can come in and start at center for the Packers and be a huge upgrade if Josh Myers does not improve. Josh Myers is in year four. We could see a big jump in offensive line production. We do see a big jump in offensive line production the final years of offensive linemen's rookie contracts. But we have to be ready if an injury happens. And Josh Myers was healthy all last year, but if he got hurt, we had no center behind him really to play. Yeah, we had guys, but we would have been moving a lot of parts around. If we have one major injury on the offensive line, it could totally wreck things for us. We need to have more depth, and spending maybe $8.5 million to do so could be a really good way to do that. Now, onto the defense. Most good NFL defenses have four edge rushers they are excited about. The Packers have Rashawn Gary, they have Preston Smith, and they have Lucas Van Ness. And looking back at the Lucas Van Ness pick now, it's not a bad pick if he starts to improve. But we do have nobody else behind those three guys. We need a fourth guy. And every year there are veteran free agent edge rushers who make a great impact. We talked about this earlier, but Jadeveon Clowney made $2.5 million last year, and yet he had a great season. 82.9 PFF grade, 78 pressures. This was one of the better additions in all of free agency, and it happened in July. If Clowney signs a deal for $7 million or less, you could be getting a steal at his age, 31 season. And you have to find that type of player this year. It might not be Jadeveon Clowney. This year, to me, a big name that stands out is Marcus Davenport. He missed most of 2023 due to injury. He's still only like 27 years old, but he's pretty much an identical clone to Preston Smith to me. And having two guys built exactly the same, having those guys swap in and out throughout the game could be a huge bonus to our edge rushing group. Davenport should get a one-year, $5 million TEP contract. I think that could be a steal. On the interior defensive line right now, there's nobody that stands out to me. I think I'd rather draft some rookies. There are some good athletes in this draft. Continue to add a couple guys each year. Hope one of them pans out. At linebacker, many people across the league believe the Packers will be cutting Devondre Campbell. I don't really understand why. I think cutting Campbell, a player when healthy, capable of being a great linebacker in our defense, in both coverage and as a run stopper, seems not very wise, especially if we want to win a Super Bowl. He's just got to get healthy. But if we do cut him, we'd save $10 million come June 1st. That might be money we need to sign Jordan Love to his extension. The Packers can't wait until June, though, to make that cut. I want to make this clear. Devondre Campbell will get paid $2.9 million on March 15th. We will know what the Packers are doing with Devondre Campbell before that point. So I think adding another cheap option in free agency might be worth it, and I think adding a guy in the draft. But the cheap option in free agency to me could be Tyrell Dotson of the Buffalo Bills. He had an incredible season after stepping in for the middle of the Bills defense halfway through the year. He ended up being the best linebacker in the NFL for the second half of the year. He was elite as both a run defender and in coverage. He's a little undersized, but for just a one-year, $3 million type of contract, he could add real competition and give the Packers a real chance to find two quality starting linebackers for our defense. Then, to our secondary. At cornerback, the Packers have Jair Alexander, who had a down year, but a great starting cornerback for sure. But they need more. They have seventh-round rookie Carrington Valentine, who has potential. They have Eric Stokes, but Stokes just cannot get healthy and is already in the last year of his rookie contract. There aren't many great options on the market, especially when it comes to slot corners. But I still don't think re-signing Keyshawn Nixon is a right move to be our starting slot cornerback either. But there are some veteran cornerback options who have been cut or probably will be cut to save money. We do not know what the Bills are going to do at cornerback. They're very tight when it comes to their salary cap space. They could be cutting Rasul Douglas. They could be cutting Tre'Davious White. The Dolphins have cut Xavien Howard. If one of those guys gets cut and you can sign them for a reasonable price, I think it would be really good to secure another outside cornerback spot with one of those guys. It would be totally fine to invest in this position in the draft, but we do not want to back ourselves into the corner. So if we can find a reliable player, it might make a lot of sense. A lot of draft mistakes happen when you go into the draft and you're like, I have to find this position, and you draft the best guy at that position, at the position of need rather than the best player on the board. That's where teams make draft mistakes. Can't fall into that trap. At safety, the Packers have one guy on the roster, Anthony Johnson. I think with some more development, could be a fine safety for the Packers. But we need more. We need a veteran option to come in, bring a stabilizing force to our secondary. But don't overinvest at that position either. If you look at the Jet safeties, the 49ers safeties, okay, those guys are not remarkable by any means. You do not need to invest high draft capital, high money in these guys. So find some guys who can fill in those gaps. The first guy to me, Alohi Gilman, he played for the Chargers the last few years. Last year of his rookie contract, he had the opportunity to play full-time. He impressed, 86.1 PFF grade. He's a former sixth-round pick out of Notre Dame. Not an amazing athlete by any means, but seems like he can do it all at a fairly decent level. Okay, so I think he could come at a very reasonable price. And then former Jets and Bucks safety Jordan Whitehead. Whitehead has had four seasons in a row of very stable, consistent play as an above-average safety. He doesn't get hurt, has proven he's talented enough, smart enough to be successful in two different defensive systems. He can play single-high role with his ball skills, but also be punishing box defender. And that is the versatility that our defensive coordinator, Halfley, covets, and so does Gudekinst. Whitehead is a more expensive option, but both these guys are 27 younger. Both these guys would bring a stabilizing force at safety without having to spend top dollar. Still, we'd only have three safeties on the roster, giving the Packers space to still draft a couple of guys they want to develop. And there's a couple. So those are all the players that stick out to me right now. There could still be some cuts, but there's a couple big takeaways we need to understand going into free agency and heading into the NFL draft. We don't have to fill all our needs through the NFL draft. If you fill your needs through the draft only, you will find yourself overlooking great players in order to fill holes on your roster. The Cowboys are a great example of this for years. They draft the best player available, and they get a Micah Parsons, even though they were set at both linebacker and on the edge. But he was a blue-chip prospect, so they grabbed him. But last year, they grabbed a run-stuffing nose tackle because they thought that was the player they needed to get over the top, to fill that position, and he was terrible. Don't fill your needs through the draft. Don't overspend in free agency either, though. The Chiefs last year signed Jawan Taylor to a contract worth $20 million a year, and he was simply average. We had the same type of production from our seventh-round rookie left tackle Rashid Walker. I guess second-year player Rashid Walker. And that's about $19 million in savings. The Packers are a great example of this a few years ago. They thought they had to get a bruiser running back and a fullback in A.J. Dillon and Josiah DeGuara. And wow, that did not work. The Packers thought they had to get a true slot receiver the next. Randall Cobb and missed big time on Amari Rodgers. When teams get so specific about what they are missing, they draft players higher than they should and miss out on much better talent. You can find guys every year in free agency who can fill specific roles for you. Don't fill those specific roles in the draft. And then patience is key. Don't overspend early on in free agency. You will pay a premium, a luxury tax that almost no player can perform at a level that will be worth that type of contract that you will hand out. Jawan Taylor last offseason, Javon Hargrave. Every year, we hear about teams who are having to cut big-name players because at one time they signed them for some insane type of contract, usually on the open market. Don't make that mistake. And finally, it's okay to wait till after the draft. You go into the draft hoping to get this perfect list, but also you say to yourself, hey, I'm grabbing the best players I can find. Maybe you get a player you never thought you'd be able to get. Like I ran through a mock draft scenario and found myself in the second round, and great edge rushers like Chop Robinson are staring me in the face, and I'm like, I don't need an edge rusher, but they're head over shoulders better than any other players I could be drafting. But I have three good pass rushers already on the roster. This is a conundrum where most teams would choose the player they need, not the best player. That's where you miss on finding great players. If that happens, you draft the guy you can get who's the best, and then look to get creative. Maybe you trade for a veteran. Maybe you start getting on the phone with the free agent you had been waiting to sign to get him in the building and get a contract on the books. These are moves you have to be ready to make. For example, let's say we run through the whole draft. We don't draft any guys able to play the center position. Maybe then you go out and sign Connor Williams to a one-year prove-it deal right then as he's still recovering from his surgery, okay? Because you have to have options. Free agency is about filling the gaps in your roster. It's about finding surplus value for one reason or another. Maybe they were playing hurt last year. Maybe they're coming off a major surgery. Maybe they were cut by a former team. But everything we talk about over the next month going into free agency in the NFL draft is about surplus value and being ready to build a team that can compete for a Super Bowl. We cannot get to the NFL playoffs next year and be like, wow, we had such a large gaping hole at center, at offensive tackle, at guard, at receiver, at corner. I can literally say every position. We need to have a plan in case of injury and a plan that doesn't result in a team being able to attack that new hole and just kill our chances of getting to the big game. If you look at disappointing playoff losses, a lot of them you can circle around big holes on the offensive line. You can look back and see how the loss of a receiver, a vertical threat, a guy who changes how a defense has to play you, like the loss of MVS, a speedy vertical threat to our offense, really led to a lot of inefficiency in the past playoff performances. Or even the Bucs playoff loss in our secondary, playing with young backups because of the injuries we had endured at the safety position, or the pass interference on Kevin King. We need depth, and what all this is about is finding the best players for the cheapest cost to ensure the Packers are ready to endure a long season and not have injuries be the reason we don't make the Super Bowl. So, as we tack free agency, as we tack the NFL draft, it's about finding good value options and adding depth to your team to make sure, come this next season, we don't lose out because our offensive tackle was one of the worst in the NFL because Zach Tom was out because of injury. Okay. Any other reason like that, injury related, that's what we're trying to prevent at this time of year. We're trying to find the best value. There's almost no reason to go out and sign some major free agent to some $20, $30 million contract. It's just not going to be worth it. So we'll continue to keep tabs on all this. We'll continue to keep you updated. But for today, that is all we have. If you have not already, make sure to subscribe, give me a review so I can hear what you guys think about the podcast, and tell your friends about Packers Now so that they can get all the latest updates on the green and gold, because it's always Packers season at Packers Now. Thanks, guys.